Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So today I want to speak to every person who voted for my opponent. To make this nation stronger and better, I will need your support, and I will work to earn it.
I earned capital in the campaign, political capital, and now I intend to spend it.
President Bush Wednesday, followed by President Bush Thursday. What a difference a day makes. And as for his first statement on unity, you know, it doesn't have to mean papering over our differences, but it can at least mean talking to one another and perhaps relearning how to talk to each other about our differences outside the language of a heated campaign. After such a divisive election, the rhetoric of red versus blue, of one candidate being a liar and another as having no moral compass of the things, one of the things we want to do on this program going forward is to pull back from all that, at least for some of our discussions. Again, not to paper over anyone's true disgust with President Bush, if that's what you have, or with the Democrats, if that's what you have, but just to get the Bush and Kerry voters in the audience, not the politicians, not the lobbyists, not the talking pointers, the voters in our audience, regular American, Democratic, and Republican folk. And I know there are plenty of each of you out there talking to each other productively again about the issues. And we'll do that in a variety of ways over the coming weeks and months. We can take your suggestions for how to engage each other as citizens and as neighbors again without sweeping real differences under the rug. I say yet again, we can take your suggestions on how to do that via email to Brian Larashow at WNYC.org. And we want to begin right now with a call in for listeners who voted for President Bush. And basically, I'd like you to call in and do two things. One, tell us what you would like the president to do now that he's being now that he's been reelected, assuming Kerry doesn't read the Greg Palast article and decide to reopen the fight. But tell the Democrats in the audience what you don't think they get about you as a Republican. That's the second half. 212-267-WNYC, 267-9692. Again, tell us what you would like President Bush to do with this political capital that he's accumulated with his reelection, and tell the Democrats in the audience just to start having a different kind of conversation and have everybody humanize everybody else, what they don't get, what you think they don't understand about your Republican values or leanings. 212-267-WNYC, 267-9692. And on the question of misunderstanding, there was a very interesting quote on the PBS NewsHour Wednesday night. It was their reporter, Margaret Carlson, Margaret Warner, I should say, quoting a Kerry campaign official about how little he thinks the Democratic Party and the major media understand a growing part of the American electorate. He was talking mostly about Christian conservatives, but listen to how Margaret Warner characterized this official of the Kerry campaign.
And one aide said to me today, and I'm just going to look down at my notes here, he said, you know, Margaret, the Republicans were talking to 5, 6, 7 million people that we don't understand at all. And he said, and you and the press don't understand them either. And the pollsters aren't picking them up. And they believe it was done through churches and sort of church networks and friends. And this was the Karl Rove strategy, but it was just wildly successful, more successful than even Rove had predicted in raw numbers.
So if you're a Republican and you think that's right, especially if you're a Christian conservative Republican, call us up and tell the Democrats in the audience what they don't get, what you think they don't understand about your Republican values or interests or leanings. 212-267-WNYC. And at the same time, call and tell us what you want the president to do with his political capital. What are your priorities for a second Bush term at 212-267-9692 or via email to Brian Larashow at WNYC.org. Jerry on Staten Island, you're on WNYC. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Brian. I think the president should use his political capital to make the Democrats pay a very severe political price if they try filibustering, which used to be a tool used by racists in the South to stop civil rights. But apparently the Democrats have discovered this technique to make appointments and other efforts not even get to a vote. And I think he should force them to keep the Congress open 24 hours a day for a month and close down everything else and have the nation watch as they stop the Congress from operating, just like Clinton let the Republicans do that and look like fools when Gingrich tried that. And I think that it is most people in the country do not believe that the Democrats have a right to stop a vote from being taken. They have a right to oppose things, but most Americans don't believe they have a right to stop things from getting to a vote.
And on this idea that both sides kind of see each other as evil rather than somehow legitimate and disagreeing, what would you say to Democrats out there?
Okay, I have two things I'd like to say about what they don't understand about me. First of all, maybe I'm not a typical Republican, but on the subject of values, I personally favor the right to abortion, and I personally favor gay marriage, but I do not believe that the judiciary is the place to lie for judges to make their own rules and take these decisions away from the state legislatures. I think most Americans would have been perfectly satisfied if the states had voted on their own to legalize abortion, or if the states voted on their own to legalize gay marriages. But we resent this being stolen by the judiciary. And the other thing I would like to say is that somehow Democrats think Republicans want the poor to suffer and the rich to benefit. Republicans such as myself believe that the policies Bush suggests, including the tax cuts and the privatizations, et cetera, boost the economy and help poor people, whereas the Democrats pretend over the last 50 years that they're helping poor people, but they don't help them as much as they would if they voted Republican.
Thank you for calling.
Right.
Miranda in Manhattan, you're on WNYC.
Hi. My attitude is we can't look back anymore on what we're doing in Afghanistan and Iraq in terms of revisiting the whole issue, what was the argument for going or not. We just have to aggressively campaign and end these conflicts. And let's just stop looking back. And, you know, there are some intelligence issues that we need to address, of course, and that's in the process. But we just have to take stock of where we are and end terrorism.
What does it mean, though, to campaign that way? Does it mean more use of force in Iraq, even if it kills more civilians, to wipe out the insurgents, or what?
You know, I happen to be one of those maybe insensitive to the fact that, you know, we waged such a sensitive war in the sense that we had this lightning speed war where we just wanted to get to Afghanistan, to Baghdad, and a lot of, you know, we kind of didn't aggressively have a ground war, and now we're paying the price for it. So at the end of the day, unfortunately, people will die because it's a war, and that's what happens.
And anything you would say to the Democrats out there about what they misunderstand about your intentions or values?
Yeah, and that is, could you just stop treating us like we're stupid? I mean, I'm a woman, and I'm a fairly conservative Catholic, so I'm pro-life. Could you, as a woman, and in fact I'm even Hispanic too, could you stop treating me like I'm stupid and I don't vote in my own self-interest?
Thank you. Thank you, Brenda.
Thanks.
We'll go to the next call in a minute. This is a call-in for Republicans who voted for Bush to say how you want him to spend his political capital and what you think Democrats don't understand about you. But a lot of people, probably a lot of Democrats, are calling to ask me to spell the two websites associated with the Greg Palast article we were talking about with him just before. So TomPaine.com, Paine is P-A-I-N-E, like the guy who wrote Common Sense, T-O-M-P-A-I-N-E, TomPaine.com, and GregPalast.com, Palast is P-A-L-A-S-T, P-A-L-A-S-T. Okay, so Michael in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I'm actually a Democrat who voted for Bush, an African-American Democrat who voted for Bush.
Okay.
And let me give you an example of why. I worked in a political campaign this summer, in a campaign against Major Owens. He's a Democrat in our area,
mm-hmm.
Democratic congressman.
Right.
And he was asked a question during a debate about economic development in our community where we have 50% unemployment amongst black males. And he said we could use food stamps to get help people get jobs. And that was his answer for economic development. Now, I voted for Bush because I want the Republicans to create incentives and programs to help the African-American community develop businesses, get home ownership, and create jobs in their own community using their own abilities. We don't need, we have a bankrupt Democratic leadership in the African-American community, right? They do not bring resources in our community to help stimulate economic development, which will allow us to eliminate our own unemployment and create wealth for ourselves. So we live in poverty programs, welfare programs. So we need to remove this corrupt Democratic leadership that we have here so that we can start to develop our communities. We own nothing in our communities. We have high unemployment. We live in poverty, and we just throw our votes away on these same corrupt Democratic leaders year after year.
So I'm sure the Democratic members of Congress and so forth would strenuously object to the idea that they're trying to be poverty pimps and keep their own people dependent just for their political power. But that is what you're charging them with, isn't it?
That's exactly what I'm charging them. They don't have to work, depend. You don't have to depend on what I say to validate the perception that they're poverty pimps. All you have to do is go and look in the African-American community anywhere in the United States.
So are there specific Bush policies that you think will help empower African-Americans in New York City?
Dealing with the home ownership project that he wanted to create, for
mm-hmm.
example. He says that he wants to, and I don't know whether this is the best idea or not, but he said he wanted poor people to be able to buy homes with no down payments. Now, you know, there are negatives to that and there are positives to that. You know, that would have to be looked at more closely. You know, we need to have incentives and programs to help us develop businesses. You walk through the African-American community in New York City, every single business is owned by someone outside of the African-American community. We're consumers. We don't produce anything. Every dollar that we earn on the jobs that we have go to these businesses and outside of our community. So there's no economics in our community at all. So I can't talk about specific
okay.
programs.
Right, but I get where you're going. And real quickly, I realize you're a Democrat who says you cast a protest vote, but anything you would say about what Democrats don't get about Republicans?
Just like the last reporter you said you had on the air.
The caller.
He said it was a reporter. He
okay.
said that many African-American votes were thrown away and that the Kerry campaign and
mm-hmm.
the Democrats just disenfranchised African Americans.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm saying is that we are going to get to a point where we say to ourselves, look, we have to take our vote away from the Democratic Party. We have to negotiate real benefits for our vote as opposed to just habitually giving it to the Democratic Party and receiving nothing in return.
Thank you, Michael. I appreciate
Thank
your call.
Thank you very much for having my call, taking my call.
Dave in Oceanport, New Jersey. You're on WNYC.
Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I'm a Republican. I voted for President Bush. And a couple things. First off, like you were asking what the Democrats don't understand about us.
Mm-hmm.
I think the gentleman who was just on and the young lady on before that hit right on the head. They do not understand. They think that we're dumb or we're insensitive to people. I spent years working in inner cities like Patterson and Camden, and I saw what the liberal politicians were doing to the people in those cities, and they were utterly keeping them slaves. They did nothing to help them. All they attempted to do was to get their vote and figure if they kept them in the condition they were in, they were guaranteed their vote. It was a disgrace to see. For instance, a couple of your guests before made the comment about the technology with the computer screen, implying that there's a technology bias by the fact that the black voters would not understand how to work the screen. I find that to be a racial remark. Is he implying that black folks are not bright enough to know how to read a computer screen?
I don't think at all that he was implying that. I think he was saying that if you look at probably uneducated populations of any race that
you... And he used the words black. He said the black population. He's saying they're uneducated. That's an insult to black people. If I was a black person, I'd be very insulted by that remark. You're implying that the black folks cannot read and work the screen. And I just feel that he was being very disingenuous to them.
Okay. Well, as we follow up on that Greg Palast article, we'll put that to somebody. So, and now go ahead and tell us what you would like the president to pursue in his second term.
Sure. I believe one of the very best thing he could do is tax reform. Put in either the flat tax or the fair tax program. It would put everybody on an even playing field, which would take a lot of the money out of special interest groups going down to Washington on conservative or liberal side, and make it a, get the special interest groups out of it. That'd be number one. Number two, health insurance. He's already talked about it, making it where it's portable, where you have a health savings account. It would get the insurance companies out of the health care business and the lawyers out of it, which obviously would be a big plus for us. Legal reform, you have to do something about the frivolous lawsuits because it's basically destroying the nation. And also, I think he should do something, obviously, about Social Security. Historically, the rate of return for Social Security has been about 1.7%. That's an absolute disgrace. That's why people who are on Social Security end up in poverty, because the rate of return they're getting on their money is absolutely unacceptable.
Thank you for calling us, Dave. I appreciate
Thank
it.
You.
And obviously, we'll have a lot of the policy debates on those very things and whether they would accomplish the things that Dave thinks they would, and, you know, various points of view on that. But for this segment, we've been listening to people and just hearing Bush voters. What do you want the agenda to be, and what do you think Democrats don't get about you? And we'll get one more in here. And Glenn in Manhattan, we have about 45 seconds for you.
Gotcha. I appreciate you taking my call. I'm actually an independent, registered, used to be a Democrat, and have been a Republican since the first Bush term. For this President Bush, I think he's in a situation now where he actually has a rare opportunity to really make a difference, and I'd like to see him reach out domestically and try and heal the differences between Democrats and Republicans.
What would that look like in policy terms? 20 seconds.
I would just like to see him do the tax reform as well as really work with the Democrats in terms of really just being seeing there be a happy medium in terms of his agenda and what he'd like to do and what is not going to really upset the Democrats too much. We all know what his agenda is.
10 seconds. What's the biggest reason you voted for Bush?
I have to tell you, I'm very turned off with a lot of the conjecture. I think Michael Moore and Al Franken and guys like this are a lot of the reasons why I turned away from the Democrats, because they're using half-truths to get me to go against my personal beliefs.
Glenn, thank you for your call. Thanks to all of you for your calls. Have a great weekend. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.